I love Spider-Man. Any other Spider-Man fans? No. Anybody? Mostly it's boys, but maybe girls. Anybody as a kid ever get the Spider-Man like pajamas or little the Spider-Man underwear? And you just I used to run around my house in just the Spider-Man underwear, going, phew, 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 and there was nothing that would come out of my wrist. But I thought Spider-Man was the coolest. Has anybody seen like all three Spider-Man movies? I thought the last one was horrible. I loved the first two. I didn't like the last one very much. But that was from the first Spider-Man movie. And that's when he's first starting to realize, okay, the guy's name in the movie, if you don't know, and in the comic books, his name is Peter Parker. He's just a regular kid, a normal fella. And he gets bit by a spider, and all of a sudden he wakes up the next morning, and he's got muscles. He looks in the mirror. He doesn't need his glasses anymore. He's got perfect vision, and a bully tries to pick a fight with him at school, and he does a backflip over him and punches him down the hall. And all of a sudden he's like, wait a second, I have all these abilities that I never realized I had. They're brand new. And so in this scene that we just saw, he's starting to exercise the special gifts that he has. He's starting to put them into practice for the first time. And imagine how scary it would be. Number one, you start to climb up a wall and then you realize, I'm pretty high. And then you realize, but I can keep going. And he goes, and then you realize, this is really fun, but I'm jumping across buildings. I'm jumping over alleyways. It's pretty exciting. And then you get up to the edge of a building and the roof of, has anybody ever been like on a cliff on the roof of a building and looked over? Yeah. It's kind of freaky. Every time I get a chance to do that, I've been on top of this building several times. If you've seen the fake Jonas Brothers music video, we recorded that up there. And I like to go peek over the edge, but then I'm done with it. Bodie and Jeremy, when we're doing that video, they would run up to the edge, plant their foot on the little ledge, and jump off, like, and come back, you know, not over the edge, but they jump, and they thought it was like a cool rock star move. And I'm like, if you slip, like if you run up and your foot slips, first you're going to, you know, hit the side, ow, then you're gone. And the construction men are going to be like, no sé, cómo se llama. And the guy's going to come down. They're down there working on the playground. And he's got fake Jonas brother lay there. Like, is that a Jonas brother? No, it's a fake one. And he's laying there dead. I thought for sure I was going to see Bodie or Jeremy just go, yeah, we rock, wah! And just be gone. But when you get up to the edge of a building, it is scary. But Spider-Man knew, he's like, I think I have this ability. I think I can shoot this web, you know, out of my hand. I don't know how he figured this out. And I think it's going to attach that crane, and I'm pretty sure I can just swing down on top of that building. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but I'm just going to go for it. And he says, tally-ho, which I don't know what that means. But he says it, and he goes for it. And yeah, go ahead. That's Spanish, right? And so he puts it into practice, what he thinks he might have the ability to do. He risks it, and he puts himself out there. I love Spider-Man because he's just a normal kid. He's actually kind of nerdy. And sometimes, a lot of times, I feel like Peter Parker. Like, I'm just a normal, average guy. Maybe kind of nerdy, especially when I was younger. Definitely couldn't get the girl that I wanted to get. But then all of a sudden, there's something special inside of him. And I think every one of you guys are like that. Because all of you guys are exceptional in your own way, but also average in your own way. But there's something special inside of you. And we've been talking about this Shape Up, Ship Out series. And we talked 2 weeks ago about how you can, you know, use Wake as a battleship and not as a cruise ship and serve other people when you come in here on Sunday mornings, greeting new folks, not eating, you know, all the donuts if there's only one box, sharing them and you know, sharing the video games and participating in what we're doing. We talked about Wake. Then we talked about church, how you guys can help out with the little kids, how you can help out greeting. You can get up here and be a part of this band. We'd love to have some more people up here singing and playing instruments. You can help out back there on the tech team. There's all these things you can do at church to treat church like a battleship. And today we're going to talk about the rest of your lives. Because here on Sunday mornings and other things you can do at church, like the service day we did last weekend, those only come along every once in a while. But most of your life is lived, I'm sad to say, in school. Right? And I'm glad to say in your homes and also doing sports and other activities. But in the rest of your life, how do you serve and love other people? Because here's what I believe. And this is what the Bible says, is that every one of you, no matter how gifted you feel like you are or how gifted you feel like you aren't, you've got something special and unique inside of you. Just like Spider-Man looked plain on the outside, he had something really cool on the inside. You guys have something that God has placed in you that you can give to other people. And just like Spider-Man had to step up to the edge of that ledge and risk it and try it and see how his gifts work, you guys have to take the risk in your everyday lives and step out there and go for it and see how God can use you. Look at what the scriptures say. We've been talking about Romans 12, where it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at what it says right after that verse. In Romans 12, 6, if you guys will look at the screen with me, it says, in his grace, God's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So each one of you is different. What you have is unique. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach other people well. If your gift is to encourage others, put other people down. No, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God's given you the leadership ability, take responsibility and take it seriously. And if you have a gift for showing mercy to others, do it gladly. Or being kind to others, do it gladly. Each of you guys, look, if you look there, there's a list. There's prophecy, which isn't telling the future. It's publicly declaring God's word. What I'm doing right now is prophesying to you. I'm telling you what God's word says. There's prophecy. There's serving. There's teaching. There's encouraging. There's giving. There's leadership. And there's showing mercy. And this morning, instead of me telling you, hey, if you feel like you might want to try to encourage others, here's how you can do it. I could give you a big long list of all the things that you could do. I'm going to have three guys come up here and share with you real life examples of how they've put their gifts into practice. And they've stepped up to the ledge and they've gone for it. And sometimes they've messed up and sometimes they've done really neat things and helped out a lot of people. So I want Chase to come up here and I want Will and Robert to come up here. And I'm going to have these guys just share with you some real life examples of things you guys can imitate and put into practice about how you can use your gifts to serve and love other people. Now, Chase is going to talk about serving and Will is going to talk about, Will, you're going to talk about leadership, right?
Yeah.
You have no idea.
No idea.
You know. Will, you going to start off? It's Robert.
Yeah, you want me to start?
Will's going to talk about teaching and leadership, and Robert's going to talk about encouragement and prophecy. Awesome. Got a prophet right here. Okay? So, Will, why don't you start off? Give us some examples of how you've served other people.
Yeah, well, that's perfect. Well, basically, just like David said, it's really easy.
And introduce yourself first.
I'm Will Washington, junior at Highland Park. You've probably seen me. I duct tape people to poles on occasion.
Right.
And that's always a fun one. So, anyway, I... It's real easy just to kind of go through the motions, go to church, and not do anything in your life. And I used to do that. And I kind of realized a few years ago that that's just God has something so much better for us.
Would you say you were a nerd?
No.
I would. God.
That's honest.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, anyway. Okay, that's kind of tough to follow. But anyway, a couple years ago, I decided to kind of step up in the faith. And God, if you make yourself available, God will bless you with any opportunity you need. And one thing he gave me, this is really random, and it's a really long story. But basically, he let me call plays for one of the freshman teams at our high school. And a lot of times when you're in a leadership position like that, it's really easy to want to use that to let's go score a lot, let's go win, all that type of stuff. But it was brought to my attention that it's a really good idea to use that instead to try to go be successful and make myself look good and beat all the coaches to build relationships with the players so we can eventually lead them to Christ. So that's what we ended up doing is as we called plays, we built relationships with all the players and used that leadership position as a chance to not better myself or for my glory, but to lead them to Christ. So a lot of times... You look at all the leaders in today's world, and whether it's a politician or Bill Belichick, but all they want to do is they want to win. They want the money. They want their championship ring. But God did not create you for your glory, and that's why when you pursue your glory, you're left unsatisfied and empty. But when you pursue God's glory, you're going to experience a life better than you ever imagined. So if God has blessed you with a leadership gift, use that. And whether that's calling plays for somebody, or just, I mean, stepping up and, I mean, leading one of your peers to Christ, whatever it is. Leadership is not just leading a group. It can just be loving somebody. So God has blessed, if he's blessed you with that, use that gift, not for your glory, but for his. And that's when you experience some pretty good life.
And that's not the only place you've used leadership. You led in Boy Scouts. You led at the YMCA. You coached some teams. You've done a lot of different things. And a lot of times I would think, if I was y'all's age, I'd think, well, the leader on the football team is the quarterback. And if I'm not the quarterback, I'm not really the leader, or he's the star of the team. And Will was a member of the team for a while, and he decided, you know what, God could use me more not being on the field but being on the sidelines. And he took advantage of opportunities for leadership there. So there's leadership chances everywhere. Now, Will, also you have the gift of really teaching, explaining God's word to other people. We're going to move on, though, and we'll kind of maybe come back to that later. And let's let Robert introduce himself and tell about encouragement, Robert.
Hi, I'm Robert Howard. I'm also a junior at Highland Park High School. Doesn't really matter anything else about me, but my name's Robert, and there you go. All right, so maybe you're not the most athletic kid. I'm not. You know, maybe you don't think you have any like spectacular gifts. Everyone's going to be like, oh, my gosh, I got to go chill with this kid because he is so good at this, this, or this. Like, maybe you're just not one of the people who, like, just pretty average, a pretty normal person who just kind of is just good at going through life. I feel like I'm like that most of the time. And then when I was in seventh grade, I went on a retreat, and just kind of on a side note, not even really at the emphasis of a talk, Bron kind of mentioned writing encouraging notes to people. And so I was like, you know, let's try it. Maybe that'll work out. And so I started writing notes to people, just being like, hey, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says we're all made in God's image. And so obviously, if we're all made in God's image, there's greatness in all of us. And so most of my... I'll give you an example of my notes. I wrote this to one of my a kid who's in my youth group. I go to Highland Park United Methodist, and so I wrote it to him, and I said, hey Ben, I just want to let you know how I've seen Jesus Christ in you over the past year. And then one of the common things when I write people letters is it's usually because they've got joy in them that everybody else doesn't have. And so I said, I've never seen anyone bring as much joy as you do. Your humility blows me away. People give you a hard time all the time. And even though we don't mean it most of the time, you never get mad. I really can't remember ever having a conversation with you when you talked badly about someone else. So basically, I just want to say thank you for being such a great example for me, showing me how to live in the light, and finally, being an incredible friend. And so, I mean, it's really, they're not that complicated. Just seeing, I mean, I've written them to random people. I write them to people who are older than me, too. I've written to really, it's kind of funny, people I've written them to, like, you look it across. I mean, I've written them to, like, the star quarterback of our football team just for saying hi to me in the hall. Not like I want to, like, get in his good grace, but just being like, hey, you know, when you just are nice to me and I'm a freshman, like that, I see God's goodness in that. And so just acknowledging God's presence in the world through other people is just a great way to encourage. And then the second kind of encouragement is when you want to encourage someone to be who God created them to be. And I don't know why, but the Lord put on my heart to write this. Rose, a senior, a letter the other week. And she's one of these people who's just, she's full of potential. I mean, she's great at talking to people and just really full of life all the time and really wants to be the center of attention. And the problem was that she was seeking man's glory and not God's. And so I was just like, hey, look, you know, I just want to let you know how I've seen Christ in you and that God loves you, basically, and you're made in his image. And the reason... I prayed about it a lot, and I talked to Will about this a few times. But basically,
wait, were you saying she's kind of like the popular party girl? Is that to sum it up?
I would say she's like the infamous popular party girl,
the infamous,
like the one all the stories are about.
Okay,
and you know, and the Lord just put it on my heart, I think, because I was like, I wonder if anyone's ever given her a chance. I wonder if anyone's ever sat her down and been like, hey, like I love you, or God loves you, just because you were made by Him, not because you know you go drink and do all this crazy stuff, but just because you're a child of God. And so I just encouraged her. You know, I think one thing is just being real honest with people, not in like a prideful way, but I even asked for forgiveness when I wrote her the letter. I said, hey, this is what I've seen you doing. Like, I think you've got greatness in you. And I think you're seeking man's glory and not God's. But you were created to be very good, and I think that you can be very good. But I think one of the really important things is whenever you write these letters, just go into it with a really humble attitude, not with an ulterior motive. And so I said, before I go on any longer, I first need to ask for your forgiveness. Over this past year, I've heard different stories about you, and I painted a picture of who you were without even getting to know you personally. I wrote you off as someone who went off the deep end, who I didn't need to hang around with. But then I realized you were worth dying for. So, I mean, I think just having a very honest and, like, open heart towards people, not in a prideful way, but in just like a, hey, I'm broken too. You know, let's just pursue Christ together. I think it's very important. And it was really cool. She actually called me, and we talked for 30 minutes. And the day I'd written the letter, this is just how big God is, was the day that one of her friends died. And so she was just really broken. And then the day that she received the letter, I took a few days to send it, was the day of her friend's funeral. And so she called me just crying, just broken, just tired of life. And we went to Starbucks last Sunday, and it was just awesome just talking to her, because while so many people had written her off, like, God hadn't. And just talking to her for an hour, like, she was so raw and honest, and it was just incredible. And after talking, I was like, you know, this is awesome. Let's start meeting again. And so I realized that we probably couldn't counsel her because I'm a guy and she's a girl, and I shouldn't want anything to be compromised. So I found one of my friends to hang out with her. But just the greatest thing about letters is that no one gets letters. Like, you send an email, you know, you Facebook someone, that's fun, but there's no faith in that. You know they're going to get it. I love letters because it's like, I never really know if from the time I put it in the government's hand, the postal service, you know, I don't know if the government's going to get it to them or if it's going to end up being their mail slot in their door. So there's a faith aspect in it where people don't just get mail anymore. And so when they read the words, they're usually not mine, they're God's. And I think that's important.
That's really cool. And everyone can do that, right? It's easy. Yeah. Now, you mentioned three letters that you'd written right there. How many would you say, if you had to guess, that you've written total?
I started writing when I was in seventh grade, and for a while I did like one a week. Just because, I don't know, that's a really great way to worship. Just because when you're, there's a verse that talks about how, like, you know, Christ stands in front of God, and so when God sees, looks down at us, he sees Christ, because we're holy like Christ is holy. And so when you're praying about helping, like asking God to show you good things on other people, it's a lot easier to love people because you're looking for the good in them. And so I've probably written 50.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Thanks. And now Chase is going to share with us about serving other people.
Okay. I'm Chase, 8th grade, Lake Highlands Junior High. My family and me, over the summer and over winter, because I'm in school, we go down to Cornerstone Baptist Church every Tuesday and Thursday and serve down there. We give them food and all sorts of stuff like that. And yeah.
Tell us more about where it is and what you actually do there. And what time you go?
Around lunch. It's we go down there and feed the homeless is what it is. They're down in South Dallas, which is the worst part of Dallas. Or it used to be. And Pastor Chris, the man down that's ahead of it down there, he changed the whole thing around. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
So you leave school and go down there at lunch?
No, I haven't done that.
Okay.
I did it once.
Okay.
But yeah.
So mostly during the summer.
Yeah.
You do it, and you go down and you just serve food to homeless people, right?
Right.
Cool. And have you gotten to have conversations with anybody or anything?
Oh yeah. From what I've heard, it's pretty rough. From talking to, they're all really nice. Like, they love on you. It's pretty fun. Yeah. This guy named Elvis. Yeah, he's got, his teeth are all messed up and stuff, and he is the biggest flirt in the world. He'll come down and start flirting with any girl that comes down there. It's pretty funny.
Great experience. So here's three examples, okay? And I had more lined up that these guys could each talk about another way that they've used gifts that God's given them. I've got other friends I know that have gone outside of church stuff, to the Amazon to go on a mission trip. I've got a friend that he's on a lacrosse team, and there's this really, really annoying guy, and I can say that because I've met him, that's in high school with him, and he's kind of mentally off a little bit, and he's kind of crazy, and he's just hard to be around because he kind of stutters, and you never know what he's going to say or do, and he looks weird, but this guy, my friend Cole, he gives him a ride home from lacrosse. Almost every day, and he's brought him here to church a couple times with him. And he's a guy that's really hard to be around, but Cole has a gift of mercy and kindness, where he's just going to show kindness and mercy to someone that doesn't deserve it, but he's just going to reach out and serve him in that way. And we could give you a million other examples, but now it's kind of up to you. If we can throw the verse back up, look at this verse and think about, God, which of these things could I do? How could I serve other people or teach God's word to other people or encourage others. You know, I think we can all do that, or take a responsibility of leadership that I have seriously. Or how do I show mercy to someone else in my school, someone that, you know, doesn't have a friend, someone that maybe everyone gives a hard time? How could I reach out to them? And really, because this is where you are most of the time, is you're in your schools, you're on your teams, you're in your homes. And so in your small group this week, I want you to think about and talk about, how can I serve other people in my home? How can I serve other people at my school? And how can I use the gifts that God's given me? You guys just step up to that ledge and see how God can use you. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these three guys, for Chase and for Robert and for Will, and the way that they've just taken advantage of little opportunities that you've laid before them, and they've just sought you and what you wanted to do, and they've looked out for your glory and not themselves. And thank you for the example that they set for these other students in the room that are their peers or that are younger than them. And I pray that everyone in this room would be inspired by your word and by their example to go and put into practice the faith that they say they believe in. I pray that you'd open students' eyes to what you have uniquely gifted them and given them abilities to do. And I pray that as they exercise it, they learn how to use their gifts and they learn how to love and reach other people. I pray that you'd be glorified and people would come to you through the work of the many students in this room. I pray this in Christ's name, amen. Hey, real quick, as we close,